James Marilat. DenverFan.com's James Marilat is presented by Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. James, six playoff games. What'd you learn, and how do you apply it to what the Broncos are going through?
Well, that's a good question. I think one of my takeaways was certainly, hey, it wasn't teams that were out there winning with defense. Not that you don't need to have a competent defense and a good defense, but, you know, it's not the 2015 Broncos or 2002 Bucks or the Ravens from a couple years before that. It was teams that had good offenses, teams that had really good quarterbacks. They were able to get it done. So that was the takeaway. The only team that went on the road and was able to win was a team that could run the football, so I do think you still have to be able to do that. But, man, it's all we say it over and over and over again, but this weekend reinforced it. It's all about the quarterback.
So did the results of any of these games change the way you feel about some of these coordinators who are in the mix for head coach?
Well, I mean, I look at it. I thought Dallas's defense played fine. That wasn't their problem. I do think Kellen Moore, you know, it's a little all over the board with that offense. I know they had a great offense when you put it to the whole year and, you know, the points they put up, but we saw him struggle against the Broncos. They struggled against the Niners the other day. He's a little bit of a head-scratcher to me. I thought Jonathan Gannon's defense was just totally overmatched against Tom Brady and the Bucks. That was one that probably took a little of the bloom off of that rose. But, and you know what? I probably thought Eric Bieniemy's offense, you know, it sounds funny because the Chiefs have been so good for so long on offense, but man, they're just so dynamic. They're so explosive. The creativity, not just the Travis Kelce touchdown throw, but the little underhanded one down in the red zone. And, you know, when you watch the Broncos struggle year after year after year in the red zone, and then you see what the Chiefs are able to do, and I get it. They have Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and most importantly, Patrick Mahomes. But it's also, they're not just down there running stuff where everybody knows what's coming. I thought Eric Bieniemy, who, you know, a couple of years ago he was a hot commodity. He doesn't seem as hot right now. I think he probably helped himself because the Chiefs, for all we talked about the first 8 weeks of the year of, Chiefs aren't the Chiefs, they are again. The Chiefs are back, and I think EB's stock goes up.
All right, so if you're George Payton, you know, we talked about, you know, the inability for Drew Locke in those last couple weeks of the season to, you know, change the narrative. If you're George Payton, can the narrative be changed on some of these candidates based on a playoff game or two?
Yeah, I mean, it's a what have you done for me lately league, right? So I definitely think it can. If, you know, let's say the Packers go out there this weekend and lose at home to a Niners team that, look, they play the Niners play a style of football that travels well, and they don't look good offensively. Does that, you know, kind of diminish Nathaniel Hackett and Luke Getsy? Probably a little bit. So, yeah, it seems silly that a game or two could matter. But, heck, the Vic Fangio decision seemingly came down to the last couple of games. It didn't matter that we had 3 years of a body of evidence. It was all, well, let's see what happens in a meaningless game against the Chiefs. So, yeah, I do think it can change. It's like a stock or Bitcoin or anything else, right? It fluctuates, and the perception slash value of these guys goes up and down with what happens on a weekly basis. So I do think it can change. I do disagree with you, though, Chad. I do think the narrative changed a bit on Drew Locke at the end of the year because he did not turn the ball over in his starts. I do think he at least answered that question, and that's what they had him out there trying to do first and foremost.
So you mentioned the hypothetical that the Niners go into Green Bay and beat the Packers and how that might affect the Packers coaches and the way they're looked at by George Payton. Well, what about the Niners? What if Jimmy Garoppolo leads these guys to a victory against Green Bay and even a trip to the Super Bowl? What would you do if you were Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, with your quarterback situation there? If you had Jimmy Garoppolo lead you to a Super Bowl victory, but you got Trey Lance on the bench, what are you going to do with those guys?
Well, I think it's a really interesting question. And, you know, we started our State of the Broncos series today on DenverFan.com, where we go position by position. And we started off today with quarterback. And you start looking at some of the options. And this is a long shot. But I do think if the Niners have a deep playoff run, if they go to the Super Bowl, if they win the Super Bowl, man, that is really tough to move on from the quarterback who's at that point gotten you to two Super Bowls and, you know, and playing this hypothetical, won a championship. I think at that point, if you're the Niners, you're looking at it saying, look, we think Trey Lance has a ton of potential, but the known commodity is the better way to go here. We know we can win with this guy, so we got to try and move on from Trey Lance and get back as many of the assets as we can. I think if the Niners have a deep playoff run, and look, it's not going to be easy. They have to go to Green Bay this week, but if they have a deep playoff run, that is like a long shot candidate for the Broncos is, hey, do you package some first round picks and try to get Trey Lance and try to give the Niners back some of what they gave up? It's not a likely option, but it's an option you got to have on your board if you're George Payton.
Who is your favorite in the clubhouse currently for the Broncos head coaching job?
In terms of who I think's going to get it or who I would pick?
Both.
I think Dan Quinn's going to get the job. I think it's his job to lose. Now, I don't think he's going to lose it with a bad interview. I think he loses it if somebody comes in and just blows George Payton and the crew away. Kind of like Kyle Shanahan did when they interviewed him and decided not to hire him 5 years ago, which is a head-scratcher. I think Kevin O'Connell's my guy. I watched that team and their ability to be creative offensively. They can run the football. They can throw it. Obviously, Matthew Stafford is a big part of that, but you saw the OBJ throw last night. Just teams that are outside the box and creative, and it's just not, man, that's the same thing over and over again. And look, maybe I'm buying into it, but Matt LaFleur, Zach Taylor, anybody who's been around Sean McVay has had some success. So that would be my choice. I'd go Kevin O'Connell.
Okay, so the Arizona Cardinals lost yesterday in, they got beat pretty bad. They had a late season collapse. That's putting Coach Cliff Kingsbury on the hot seat. What if the Cardinals fire Kingsbury? Would you like him to be the coach here?
That'd be an interesting option. I think he's had some success down there. I mean, this year was kind of quirky for them. They were rolling, and then Kyler Murray got hurt on the last play of the game when he threw the one to, remember, to A.J. Green, and A.J. Green wasn't looking at him for the game-winning touchdown. He got hurt on that play. And after he came back, he just was never the same guy. And last night, he was terrible last night. He just looked overwhelmed. Sure. Yeah, I mean, because there's a guy that has had success with the young quarterback. They've won games. They've made the postseason. I mean, Arizona, if they decide to move on, boy, talk about a knee-jerk reaction. I would certainly consider that, especially if you're the Broncos. And I know Matt Corral is on their list, and they're high on him, and they went and scouted him a bunch. That guy, when I watch him play, he's a lot like Kyler Murray. He's not huge. He's like 6'1", maybe, and 205.
Yeah.
So he can move around and make plays. Like, okay, you have a guy who's had success with Kyler Murray. That would probably make some sense. I don't think it's outside the realm of possibilities either. Now, with each passing hour, it's probably less likely. But if you're Jerry Jones and you have Dan Quinn and you think Dan Quinn's the guy and you know everybody's coming after him, I'd be tempted to say, hey, Mike McCarthy, thanks, and Dan Quinn's my new head coach in Dallas.
Wow. Okay, so getting rid of Cliff Kingsbury is a rash reaction, but the move of removal of Mike McCarthy's not.
Well, no, we're just looking at who's making the decision.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
So
I think Jerry
would probably knee-jerk that. And if we're being honest, expectations were higher in Dallas, right? Like, what were they, 12-5 this year? They're playing at home. I mean, Arizona had to go on, on the road again. They had an injury to their quarterback late in the year. Like, it was all set up for Dallas to do it. Arizona, after they lost DeAndre Hopkins, just wasn't the same offensively. So, not to make excuses, but I think in terms of setting expectations, I don't know that anybody in Arizona went into the playoffs. Now, maybe in November, but went into the playoffs thinking this is a Super Bowl team. There were a lot of people in Dallas heading into this weekend that said this is the year where this is the team that's going to go to the Super Bowl. So, when you fall short, and you fall short in a way in which you didn't look ready to go, and then you make a head-scratching decision at the end of the game, that's when knee-jerk reactions happen.
Thanks, James. Appreciate it, buddy. Always good stuff.
You bet, fellas. Talk to you soon.
Later, Jimmy.
That's DenverFan.com's James Merrilad, presented by Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room.